This conference will now be recorded.
All right. Amarillo Independent School District.
Here. Jill Humphrey.
Jill, hi.
Hey.
American Youth Works.
Hey, Erin Allen here.
Austin Independent School District.
Hi, Karen's on the phone.
And Brenda and Pugh Walker.
All right. Great. Boys and Girls Club?
Okay. We're here. Kara and Elizabeth are here.
Oh, you are. Great. All right. All right. Breakthrough?
Hi, this is Audrey Brandle, and I'll be joined by Daniel Jackson.
Great. City Year Dallas?
Hey, Melissa Miller's here.
Is that two people? I heard Melissa. Was there somebody else too?
Yes, Mary Elise.
Great. And City Year San Antonio?
Sarah Kasprick's here.
City Square?
Eli's here.
College Forward?
Yeah, Matt is on the line.
Communities and Schools of Central Texas.
Ricky and Don will be joining shortly.
Communities and Schools, Heart of Texas.
This is Meredith.
Front Steps.
Lori and Katie are here.
Literacy Coalition of Central Texas.
Riff Rowan here.
Lone Star College, Kingwood.
Amy's here.
National College Advising Corps.
This is Keenly at Lone Star.
Yeah, this is Kelly.
Okay, so those were for Lone Star National College Advising Corps.
Yeah, this is Jim. Jim Mulvey's here.
Project Grad?
We're here.
I'm sorry, who is there for Project Grad?
Are Zach and Melissa?
Great. Project Transformation?
Allison Richter here.
Relay? Graduate School for Education?
Rachel Webb is here.
I skipped one. Reading Partners?
Hi, Brittany is here.
Student Conservation Association.
Joellen is here.
Teach for America.
Erica Q here.
Jamie's here.
University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. UTRGV, are you there? All right. Travis County?
Charlotte and Miranda are here.
United Way of El Paso County?
Colleen Peluso and Nina Cyros.
University of North Texas?
Carla Mowell, 5 votes.
And Keisha Brunel?
And UT ACE.
Mm-hmm. And Mary Ellen and Despina and Missy are all here.
Great. All right. Did I miss anybody? Anyone join the call mid roll call? All right, great. I'm going to turn it over to Emily then.
Great. Thank you, Jacqueline, and thank you all for being here. As you know, this is our bi-monthly update from the field call with all of our AmeriCorps Texas programs in the portfolio. Today is Thursday, October 15th, and we have lots of updates for all of you today. It would be helpful if you could follow along on the agenda that was sent to you by your grants officers. Please do make sure to mute yourself if you aren't speaking or asking a question. Just so we can keep the phone lines open and easy to hear for everyone. You can do that by using the mute button on your phone or pressing star 2 to mute and unmute yourself. I believe we're going to take questions after each kind of section, so just hold your questions till the end of each section. I'm going to start with our general updates and key dates. So again, this is Emily Steinberg, Director of National Service Programs here at One Star. I wanted to give you a few kind of high-level updates and talk about some important events coming up as well. So to start off, probably something that you all have been watching in the news is around our federal funding situation. As you know, the federal fiscal year actually has already begun. It started October 1st, yet we do not have a federal budget that has been passed by Congress yet. So we are operating in a little bit of a, well, it used to be a unique situation. This is becoming a little bit of the new normal now, where we are operating under a continuing resolution, which basically means that Congress has delayed making any funding or budgetary decisions for a little while until they can reach more agreements. And therefore, the Corporation for National and Community Service, as well as all of us who are funded by CNCS, are operating on previous year budget levels. Through the continuing resolution, or CR, as they are called. The good news is, as you all are probably aware, is that the government shutdown was averted. That could have happened on October 1st. It wouldn't have directly affected any of you in terms of funding. However, it does affect, you know, CNCS staff and resources and web-based services that they provide, and the My AmeriCorps help desk and things like that. So we were happy that that did not occur. However, I did just want to make sure you are all aware that there are still very likely budget cuts that will be coming down later on in the winter. Of course, we are not in Congress, so we do have no idea what those are going to look like. But what we're hearing from the corporation is that one way or another, CNCS will face fairly substantial cuts. What is unclear is, you know, under which program budget those cuts will occur or which programs will be most affected. You know, I believe it was the House that marked up, you know, cutting one program, and the Senate marked up cutting different programs. So whether or not the cuts will fall to commissions, AmeriCorps State and National, VISTA, NCCC, et cetera, it still remains to be determined. And only Congress people can really speak to what is the most likely situation. However, our continuing resolution does last until December 11th, so that buys Congress a little bit of time to figure some things out. But there's also an important debt ceiling debate that is happening in the next month. For those of you that watch and read the news, around November 5th is when the Treasury will run out of money to fund the already obligated costs of the federal government. So really, the next 3 weeks will be very critical for Congress to determine kind of the course that it is going to take. So between November and December, expect to be hearing a lot of news in terms of how this will all shake out for the federal budget. Again, this really won't affect AmeriCorps State and National programs until the following year. We're always funded kind of on the previous year's budget and allocated under the previous year's budget, which is very, very fortunate for us. Unfortunately, VISTA and NCCC are directly affected by federal budget changes immediately. So we're a little bit lucky here in being part of the AmeriCorps State and national community, and that we aren't as directly affected. But if you ever have any questions about that, just let us know. Obviously, we can't read the tea leaves, but we'll do our best to give you an idea of what might be going on. I also wanted to provide some updates from Washington, D.C., from CNCS. We both recently hosted our CNCS program officer from Washington, D.C. here in Austin recently, and some of you got to interact with her. Her name is Tova Pertman. We also just recently sent several staff, including myself, to D.C. for the annual kind of AmeriCorps State and National Symposium, which is for AmeriCorps State Commissions and National Direct Programs. So just a few highlights I wanted to touch on. We'll start with kind of the fun stuff. From the DC symposium, there were a lot of themes that really emerged. I think most of the content and the discussions that happened were around some really big topics like evaluation and evidence building, national service criminal history checks, and the new interim disallowance guidance that I believe the program officers will talk about in a little bit. Branding and identity, and marketing, and making sure that we tell our story to the public as well as to elected officials. especially when, you know, budget crises occur like this. It's very important that we are educating our elected officials on the local impact that programs are having. And lots of innovative federal agency level partnerships that are happening at the corporation, such as FEMA Corps, School Turnaround AmeriCorps, and potential new partnerships that are happening with employers of national service, as well as other federal agencies like agriculture, the Department of the Interior. So I think you're gonna continue to see a lot more of those federal level partnerships. There's a joke that it's called finding other people's money to fund AmeriCorps. And so you'll continue to hear about ways that the corporation is finding other people's money to expand AmeriCorps within our budget constraints. But lots of great stuff. And another great highlight just from our Texas portfolio is that one of our very own AmeriCorps Texas programs on this call was awarded for the very first time it was offered. A special award from Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa, who just retired from Congress last year and had been the chair of appropriations, was really the champion of CNCS and AmeriCorps and Senior Corps funding on the Hill. He has just been a huge supporter of the work that we are all doing, and we're all very saddened by his retirement. But in his honor, a new award was created for the most innovative AmeriCorps programs in the country under certain categories that you had to meet. And I'm very proud to announce that Texas Conservation Corps at American Youth Works was named one of the Harkin awardees for best enhancement to an existing program for the work that Texas Conservation Corps is doing to adapt its environmental and conservation skills to the disaster services and emergency management world. So congratulations, Aaron, Park, Megan, and everyone on the Texas Conservation Corps team. We're so excited. For the rest of you, please keep this in mind for next year that we're always looking for programs that we might want to nominate that particularly fit the criteria of these categories. So that's where it really comes in handy when you let your program and grants officers know what's going on with your program, anything really innovative that you're doing that involves your AmeriCorps program, because we're always keeping programs in mind for exciting award opportunities. So congratulations again to Texas Conservation Corps. Some brief highlights of our CNCS compliance visit with our program officer, Tova Pertman. She was fortunate enough to be here for about 3 or 4 days. We had a lot of extensive meetings with her, and as many of you know, you probably had files pulled for her, whether it was for criminal history checks or program files. The big theme that emerged here, and you're going to continue to hear about this in the next 6 to 12 months from all of us at One Star, is the importance of having not just good forms and not just good protocols, but actually having written policies and procedures behind all of those forms and behind all of those processes. So that's something we're going to work on doing quite a bit more here at One Star, is making sure that we really have solid policies and procedures, and that we're also collecting your policies and procedures and really talking through those with each of your programs. And the importance of that is sustainability and making sure that things are happening and are getting done, and that things are clearly assigned to different staff roles or different people at your organization, so that when people leave, you really know who's going to be doing that next, and you have that kind of plan for staff transition, as well as just organizational best practices as a nonprofit. So those were really kind of the big themes there that we wanted to share with you. Moving along to the next item, I'm very excited about this. As you all know, tomorrow is the big National AmeriCorps opening day and swearing in ceremonies that will be happening across the country. I'm very pleased to announce that 5 Texas cities will be participating, and I want to congratulate all of us on that. I think we are the state doing the most from what I am hearing from other states. We have a friendly competition going with the state of Wisconsin right now that also is doing some neat things, but I honestly think that our Texas events are going to be the best across the country. So thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to Amarillo, to Jill over there in Amarillo, who's planning something with her members, to Dallas and all of the North Texas programs. There are about 5 or 6 of you on this call that are all collaborating on a wonderful event at the American Red Cross with some great speakers and a disaster service project afterwards. Waco to Meredith and her team there that are planning an event at their office there in Waco for Communities and Schools of Heart of Texas. An event that I'm really excited about also is El Paso. I want to thank Colleen and her staff there, who are also collaborating with a tribal program, which is Isleta del Sur Pueblo, and the Target Tiqua Indian community there. I'm so excited about this collaboration, that you all are working together on this event and even hosting your event on tribal land at the tribal courthouse and having the local tribal judge swear in your communal AmeriCorps members for El Paso County. So excited about that. We will be very eagerly awaiting photos, highlights, tweets, etc. As you know, we love those things. And in Austin, I'm proud that we will be hosting about 500 members and program staff at the Texas Capitol. We will be on the South Steps from 10:30 to 11:30, and we'll be kicking off the event with the First Lady, Cecilia Abbott. I'm very pleased that she has accepted our invitation to be our keynote and our kickoff speaker. And we'll also be hearing from some great VIPs, including State Representative Donna Howard, Anna Tengretti with the Texas Division of Emergency Management, City of Austin Mayor Steve Adler, and we'll be closing with the Texas Supreme Court Chief Justice Nathan Hecht, who will be inducting the members with the AmeriCorps Pledge. I'm also pleased that we'll have some AmeriCorps members sharing from Literacy Coalition of Central Texas, so thank you guys for that. We will have a National Anthem singer from UT ACE, and Dr. Mary Ellen Isaacs from ACE will also be announcing kind of the new Serve Austin recruitment initiative that will be happening. So it's going to be just a wonderful event. If you are attending or participating in these events, you should have just received some information from your grants officers with some updates. We have a video link that the corporation has just shared with us. Hot off the press, there is a secret download link for how you can get this video onto your computers or on a flash drive to take with you to your event or to show with to your members from all of the directors of AmeriCorps, including AmeriCorps State National, VISTA, and NCCC, and Wendy Spencer from CNCS. So please take a look at that video. It's really great. And we won't be able to show it at our Texas Capitol event because we just won't be able to show videos outdoors very easily. But we really encourage each of your programs to show this to your members either through email or the next time you are all together at a training, whether it's tomorrow or the following, sometime later this month. So take a look for that secret link to the video download. And do make sure to use hashtag AmeriDay and to capture any photos you might have. Please encourage your members. They are encouraged to share on social media as well. Hopefully it will be a positive experience and they'll share positive things and photos, of course, but we welcome everyone to participate online tomorrow. So thank you so much to everybody who's doing something for the big opening day. A few other key updates. The next thing on our radar screen chronologically is October 22nd. We will soon be sending out a link to a new Disaster 101 training webinar that OneStar will be piloting this year. We will be recording this webinar in order to help you promote it to AmeriCorps members and program staff. By having your members watch this video, which will be webinar that will be recorded, it will be about 90 minutes in length. It will meet the disaster requirements of your OneStar terms and conditions. So we're hoping to provide this to you all so that if you don't have easy access to a local disaster trainer or it's hard to find, it's hard to schedule those things sometimes, we will be providing kind of a disaster 101 overview for members that will be interactive and we'll have four different speakers. I'm pleased that we'll have Lisa Tatum from AmeriCorps Alums of North Texas and the Volunteer Now Center in North Texas as our presenter, as well as Megan Helton from Texas Conservation Corps, and our own very own disaster services specialist, Damian Morales. So look for that link. Please put it on your calendars now if you think you might have members who would want to attend. Again, that will be held on, there was a date change on that. It is actually going to be October 23rd now due to some speaker availability changes. So it will be Friday, October 23rd. And the time will be, I believe it is 2:00 Central. Jacqueline's going to check me on that, but 2:00 Central, I believe. Yes, 2 to 3:30 p.m. Central, Friday, October 23rd. Mark your calendars and do promote it if you can. I believe we will have room for up to 100 logons at a time through our webinar system. So it will likely be limited to 100 participants. Next on our radar screen is November on Veterans Day, Wednesday, November 11th this year. We will be celebrating for the first time ever a new initiative called National Veteran Corps Day, or Vet Corps Day, as we like to call it. The CNCS is really doing some neat things around veterans and military families to promote the work that we're doing. This is also wonderful for visibility and inviting elected officials to these types of ceremonies. They've put together some great new materials, including some beautiful National Vet Corps pins, lapel pins, that you can order for free on the CNCS website using the link that was in the last AmeriCorps update. You have to place your order by October 23rd to get the pins in time for the ceremony. But the concept behind it is to place, to pin one of these new lapel pins that say AmeriCorps veteran or Senior Corps veteran onto current National Service members who are either veterans of the armed forces or who are actually directly serving veterans and military families as part of their service. So I know this may not apply to every program out there, but I'm thinking that there are at least a few programs that are engaging veterans as members or whose members are serving veterans or military families. You can order, I believe, up to 5 pins at a time for free of each kind. We've got our first shipment here at One Star. They're beautiful. You can also order some brochures and things like that about the new Vet Corps Day and initiative. So definitely take a look at that if you have any veterans serving in your program. So again, that's Wednesday, November 11th. Sorry, I know there's a lot of dates, but I want to make sure you got these all on your calendar. We have our next new AmeriCorps staff orientation, or NASO as we call it, coming up right after Veterans Day, actually. Thursday and Friday of that week, November 12th through 13th. It will be hosted here in Austin at the Communities and Schools of Central Texas offices. So thank you to Jennifer and her team for hosting us. This will be a 2-day orientation for any new program or fiscal staff or those who haven't been through it. For those of you who haven't read your terms and conditions thoroughly this year, there is a little bit of a new requirement attached to our new AmeriCorps staff orientation. This event is now mandatory for any primary or secondary fiscal and program staff who are listed on your authorized representative form, also known as the ARF for your grant, and they must attend within the first year of being listed as a primary or secondary contact on your ARF on or after August 2015. So for those of you who started before August 2015, you're lucky you're grandfathered in, although we encourage you to attend a NASO. But this will be a new requirement starting this program year 2015-2016. And the reason that we're now requiring that is that we've heard from so many different program staff or fiscal staff that they felt surprised by some aspects of grant requirements or grant management. And most of the time, it tends to be because they haven't attended one of these orientations. And so they never got the critical information that they needed to really manage the AmeriCorps grant compliantly or successfully. And so we want to make sure that we're setting you all up for success and that every new staff person on the fiscal or program side have kind of that basic information needed to be successful in your grant management. So definitely put that on your calendars if you have any staff to send. That's, again, November 12th through 13th. A couple more updates before I turn it over to the next folks, or I'll take questions first, I guess. Is the regional training conference update. I believe last time we spoke, I let you know that there will be regional training events and conferences happening again this spring. As you know, we hosted this in Fort Worth last year for the Southwest Cluster. Unfortunately, no states from the Southwest Cluster had the capacity to host one of these conferences this coming year. And so we will actually be redirected to other regional training events around the country. And those have just been announced of where those dates will be. We don't have specific dates, but again, this will likely take place between January and June 2016. I've been told that we will be assigned to kind of a state where they're going to encourage Texas programs to attend, just from a numbers standpoint of trying not to overwhelm other states, because we're fairly large. And our kind of assigned state will be Alabama. So we will be visiting the South and going with the South cluster to the Alabama Training Conference. Don't have specific dates, though I have heard informally that they are exploring the idea of an April event. This will not be a required event, but it will be strongly encouraged, and it will be an allowable cost on your budget as long as you make sure that you work with your fiscal grants officers to ensure you have the funds in your budget to attend. So it will be strongly encouraged that you attend. Depending on the date that it gets chosen, we will be looking into, you know, possibly offering a grantee meetup at that event, but it just depends on timing and all of that. So again, Alabama will be where we will likely be headed. The other states that will be hosting events include Nevada for the Pacific Cluster, Indiana for the North Central Cluster, and Massachusetts for the Atlantic kind of East Coast Cluster. So if you desperately want to go to Nevada, Indiana, or Massachusetts, we're not going to stop you, but we're going to strongly encourage that you go to Alabama if possible. So yeah, that's the update on that. And before I take questions, I wanted to talk a little bit about a theme that we've been hearing a lot lately at One Star around some grantee concerns that have been arising in the field. And I just wanted to pause for a moment and to acknowledge that One Star understands how challenging it can be to manage AmeriCorps grants. We have heard a lot that between the criminal history checks and the evidence and evaluation requirements, the everyday, you know, fiscal management of the grant, as well as just having to enroll and exit members and do performance reviews of them and get all the paperwork straight. We understand that this is definitely not a beginner's grant. And that is why from the get-go in our notices of funding opportunities, we have put in place certain requirements that make it a little tougher to even apply for an AmeriCorps grant, because we know that really only the cream of the crop organizations that have the capacity, that have the experience, that have the staff knowledge to administer a program like this are going to succeed at it. And so that's why you'll notice in our notices of funding opportunities, we require that our applicants have past experience managing state or federal funds. We are one of the only state commissions to even have that requirement. And that's because, again, we want to set you all up for success. We know it's not easy, but yet we also don't have a lot of direct local control over what requirements we don't have. And we are one of the state commissions, I will say, that I think has high standards for all of you. I think you'll find that if you went to any other state, you would be among the best of the best of the best programs, because you have so many forms and systems and experience, and you've already met so many One Star and CNCS requirements that you could succeed doing an AmeriCorps program anywhere else in the country. And so I want to let you know that you really are among the best. We do not continue to fund programs that struggle. We want to see you succeed in these grants. We know it's not easy. But we also know that AmeriCorps is a federal program, and like any federal grant, this is true, that there are so many requirements because you are taking taxpayer dollars, and with taxpayer dollars always come strings attached. We are under the oversight of the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. They take their jobs very seriously at OMB, and they work with the corporation to manage federal requirements. They hold CNCS accountable for ensuring that we're adhering to grant standards and federal grant requirements and laws. And in turn, the CNCS holds state commissions accountable and national direct programs accountable for also meeting those same standards. And thereby, we also hold you all accountable as our subgrantees with these grants accountable for making sure that you meet these requirements also. So while I know that doesn't necessarily take away the burden of managing these grants, I just want to make sure that you all understand that you are in no way obligated to do the AmeriCorps program. And if it turns out that it is not a fit for your program in any way, if it really is too much to manage, and in some cases it may not be worth it, we completely do understand that. At the same time, we are looking for the cream of the crop, the organizations with the capacity that can truly manage these programs successfully, and to hire the right people in the right seats on the bus to do this work well. And so we are going to continue to hold you all to high standards to make sure that you can succeed, not just in your local community, but at a statewide and a national level as a federal subgrantee. You all are federal subgrantees. And while we will do our best to make things as least burdensome as possible, we do have high standards for a reason. So I know that probably doesn't help a ton, but I wanted to put that out there. And now I will take a few questions before we move on to some programmatic updates. So any questions, please make sure to unmute yourself.
Emily, this is Mary Ellen, and I have an incredibly mundane question. Will there be chairs tomorrow at the Capitol for people with mobility challenges? We've had a couple
We'll have just a few chairs, Mary Ellen, for people who need them due to mobility issues or speakers. So I think we'll have about 10 chairs. So I can definitely reserve some if you have somebody who needs to sit.
Okay, I'll email you. Thanks.
Okay, great question.
I have a question.
This is
Karen from AISD. That disaster webinar, is it only offered on that particular day, or is it going to be available on multiple days for members?
It is only being offered that day, but it's being recorded so that you can show it at any time, anywhere, moving forward.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Great question. And if it goes well, we will hopefully host these each year and keep updating the materials, but we're really piloting it this first time to see how it goes. All right. Any other questions?
Hi. This is Audrey from Breakthrough. I have a quick question about the regional training conference update.
Sure.
Yeah, and you had mentioned, I hadn't caught it in my notes, in terms of the funding. You said it falls under the umbrella to be funded as long as we have those funds available, correct?
Yes, it is written into your terms and conditions. You'll notice it's on the training section of your one-star terms and conditions as an optional event. It is a CNCS-sponsored event, so therefore it is an allowable cost to send people to the spring regional training, as long as you make sure you have sufficient funds to attend the required events like the new AmeriCorps staff orientation. And we will be hosting our annual grantee meeting. We're still determining, you know, a date and location for that. It will most likely be in Austin, so you just need to have budgeted funds to still attend those required events.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good question. Okay, I'm going to turn it over. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Jennifer. In light of the disaster webinar, do you know if there is going to be any requests for response concerning the Bastrop County fires?
Good question. Well, the webinar has nothing to do with any requests. It is completely standalone to meet the disaster training requirements. But yes, we have heard initially that there will likely be a need for volunteers due to the Bastrop wildfires that are happening right now. We're still working to determine, you know, direct response through Texas Conservation Corps and other groups that do disaster as their primary focus area. But for those of you that are in the Central Texas region, I do anticipate that volunteers will be needed in the coming weeks and months for kind of longer term volunteer management, cleanup, et cetera. But we won't be formally activating anybody at this time.
Okay. Thanks.
Good question. Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to turn it over to Jacqueline and Miranda, and we'll still have time for questions throughout the call. So, Jacqueline and Miranda.
Yeah, hi everybody. A few program updates. The first one, APR clarification process. This only applies to programs that were in our 2014-15 portfolio, so not new programs, not planning grants. If you haven't heard from Miranda or I yet, you should by the end of the week with our APR review report with clarification questions possibly. We're on a pretty tight turnaround to get those all back and get everything compiled in order to submit everything by the end of the month. So please just make sure you're paying attention to those emails and getting back timely to us. There also is a possibility after we submit the report that CNCS may have additional clarification questions directly. So just be aware that after October, there may be additional questions also. Service site locations and e-grants. This is a reminder and an update. Reminder that all service sites should be updated for members within 30 days of enrolling them. And then also an update that we just heard from CNCF that they will be pulling their state profiles a little earlier than usual. So we should be hearing from them next week with a full list of service sites in Texas, which means that Miranda and I will be emailing all of our programs with service site reports for each program. So we'll be asking you to review those reports and verify that everything's accurate. And if it's not, to update it at that time. So kind of keep an eye out for an email from us about that as well. New NSCHC risk-based disallowance interim guidance. We sent out an email about 2 weeks ago about this. Hopefully you all had a chance to check it out. I think the big thing to kind of underscore on this is that this is not changing any of the requirements related to what you need to do for criminal history checks. All of those rules are staying the same. This is only about how to handle disallowed costs if there is a non-compliant check. So if you read through the document, you'll see it's really a pretty different model than it's been in the past. It's more of a fine-based structure, although they're not calling it a fine, but it's based on kind of what your level of mitigation of risk is, and so what procedures you had in place and you implemented in terms of accompaniment or different timing of checks. So I think it is a more fair way to levy these criminal history disallowed costs and are less punitive and hopefully will benefit everyone in the field with these new guidance. But it is implemented, it's in effect now. So if we come across non-compliant checks, this will be the guidance we'll be using moving forward and are using now. It is called an interim guidance. They expect to release a non-interim guidance early 2016, but likely there will be not major changes between this one and the new one. So, you know, read it. Let us know if you have any questions about it. But it's not changing what you have to do, just changing how to handle the slab costs. And also, if you checked it out and noted in the email, this is favoring programs that self-disclose non-compliant checks. So if you are doing your own internal normal auditing of your files and discover that you have a non-compliant check or multiple, if you let us know directly before we come on site and find it, you can get a 50% off discount. that's not quite the right way to say it, but you know, the disallowed cost could be reduced by 50% if you self-disclose. So, yeah, just make sure you are, you know, all paying attention to criminal history checks and doing your own internal auditing of your files to really know what's going on with your criminal history checks. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Miranda.
Hi, everyone. The first update I have is about the CNCS branding and messaging guidance. CNCS sent out a guide, I believe it looks like in July. So I'm not sure if you all have seen it, if you're getting the CNCS updates, but if you have, we definitely encourage you to check it out. It's pretty detailed, has a lot of really great ideas on how to improve your branding as a program, and we will be including that in the next AmeriCorps update, so feel free to take a look. So on that same note, you know we are excited about branding at One Star, so we're just reminding you all, just make sure your members are wearing their logos daily, and the bigger the logo, the better. We can't get enough of those A's. And then also just not only having your members well branded, but also your sites. So, you know, when you walk into a building, a school, or other organization where your members are serving, we want to know that the AmeriCorps members are there, that they have a presence. So anyway, we gave you all some branding materials recently, so we just really hope you're using them and getting the word out. Next, grievance procedures. So with our visit from our program officer from CNCS, one area that she mentioned to us was regarding grievance procedures. So she gave us some feedback there. As you all know, the grievance procedure is in your member service agreements, and the AmeriCorps requirements for that are pretty specific. We know that a lot of the language in there is kind of legal language that, you know, you may not all understand. I know we had to really sort through it to kind of follow what it is. So on that note, we are going to be providing some guidance to programs on grievance procedures. We've drafted something. We're just kind of finalizing it, and we'll be sending that out as kind of a template for you all to use if you would like. And then just we want to encourage you all that if there were to be a member grievance, you know, make sure you all do not just have the language in your member service agreements, but you have a plan in place, you know, if this were to happen. Because, you know, some of the language there is a little bit complex. It's not completely clear cut on the process that we've seen, you know, as we've kind of been working through this. So anyway, any questions, talk to Jacqueline and I. We can walk you through the language, but, you know, we want to make sure you follow all those federal guidelines correctly, because it's very specific, the various steps you have to take. So there's that. Lastly, the fun update is that Jacqueline and I will be at the Points of Light conference next week, and we're excited that so many of you are going to be attending. And we have planned a social event for Tuesday evening, well, early evening, from 4:30 to 7:30. We sent the invite out, and thank you to those of you who have RSVP'd. We're excited. We have pretty great attendance so far. And we will be meeting at the Lake House. It's a restaurant right near the conference. So we'd love to see you all there. It's going to be a great time for everyone to connect. There's going to be some newer folks there, so we'd love for everyone to come and kind of welcome them into our AmeriCorps Texas portfolio. Yeah, so it should be fun. And then just otherwise, I think both of us are excited to see you all next week. So that's all I've got. So I will hand it over to Anna and Mary. Oh, questions. Or I will take questions. So any questions out there? All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to Anna and Mary.
Hello, everybody. This is Anna. I'll start off on the fiscal updates. One thing we wanted to remind you guys of is that we sent out a new PER template on October 7th and 8th. I sent it on the 7th, and Mary sent it on the 8th. And this PER template is completely the same, with the exception of new certification language at the bottom. So I'll talk about that in a second, but I do want to make sure that you guys are using that new PER template going forward for this year. So we'll be looking for that, and if we see that you've sent a PER in on the old template, we'll have you resubmit with this new template. It's important because it has new certification language. We updated this template to be in alignment with the new super circular language. 2 CFR 200.415 has some new language. The old PER talked about making sure you are who you are and you're signing it with the correct authority and that everything you put in the report is true. The new PER language, certification language, heightens that requirement. It's still, the intention is the same, that everything you're putting in the report is true, complete, and accurate, but also it ups the ante a little bit and describes that if you on purpose disclose false, fictitious, or fraudulent information, or you omit any information, it could subject you to criminal, civil, or administrative penalties. So we just want to make sure, same thing as always, that everything you're putting on your PER is true, but it ups the ante a little bit there. So we wanted to bring that to your attention, that make sure that when you're filling out your PER, you're doing it as correctly as possible. That same language will be updated in the FFR. So we'll be you'll be seeing that as well. Couple other bonus topics that aren't on the list. One thing is we have a no update on IPERA. I know we worked with many of you this summer on IPERA reviews, and we got all of the documents in that we requested, but right now we're in the waiting period from the corporation. I haven't heard any updates from them yet about that, but we know certainly once we hear from them, we will let you know as soon as possible. Also, we haven't heard any additional updates from last summer's IPERA process either. I know we've heard a couple of questions on that as well, although we have heard from the corporation that we should be getting an email soon that kind of closes out that process. So for those of you that have been waiting for that peace of mind, we're still awaiting that final close of that process from CNCS, but we will be forwarding you that once we receive it. The last piece is wanted to let you know that we had everybody submit their FFRs, all cost reimbursement grants, not fixed grants, submit their FFRs on the
September 30th, and we got everybody in on time. So thank you guys for making sure to take care of that. We had a couple of follow-up questions for you, but this FFR process was smooth and allows us to submit our giant FFR for our whole portfolio by the end of this month. So thank you guys for your work responding to that for us. So passing it along to Mary.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary. First topic I'm going to cover is budget change request approvals. Anna and I touched on this very briefly during AGM, and since it's the new grant year, we just want to give you guys a reminder. First off, we all understand that your grant budgets are prepared and submitted months in advance of your year starting, and so that creates a large window of unanticipated needs. And so at year end, we do know that there will be variances, and CNCS has a 10% allowance that provides for a lot of those variances. And the allowance is nice, but it doesn't cover everything. Programs still need to follow 2 CFR 200.308, which provides general guidance on budget revisions. And this includes items not listed on the original budget. Some examples of this might be software upgrades that come up that you didn't anticipate, or if you have, you're increasing your employee allocations if it's significantly higher than the budget. I also want to remind you to ask for your budget changes in advance, and you should include detailed information such as the budget lines affected, the cost, purpose or justification, and the cost allocation if more than your AmeriCorps program is receiving a benefit from it. And again, we strongly suggest that you ask for budget changes before the obligation. If there's something large that you're requesting and it turns out, you know, the tail end of year three and we just don't seem like it's reasonable and we say no, and then you've got a lot of money left over at the end of the year that could have been used for planning grants or other things. And then next, I'm talking about the final PER process. Anna and I are working our way through them. We've got all of them on time or ahead of schedule, which is fantastic. If your budget ended on July 31st, then the PER was due on August 30th, and with the 831 finishers, the PER was due on September 30th. And we review all of the PRs within 30 days of that due date to us. So if you're an 831 end date, then you'll hear from your fiscal GO by the end of this month. Does anyone have any questions about the fiscal updates? All right, I'm going to turn things over to Emily for its grant management update.
Great, thank you guys. And I just want to say, I know that many of you who are on the call or who tend to join the call are often programmatically focused, but we want to make sure that you guys keep in mind that making budget changes is both programmatic and fiscal in many ways, and oftentimes it should involve both parties working together to make sure that you are seeing where there might be leftover money and thinking about ways that you might want to spend that to support your program. So before we move forward, can I just get somebody to confirm that you can still hear us after last monthly calls shenanigans? I want to make sure that you all are on the line still. Is everybody there?
Yeah, this is Austin ISD, we're going to try to run a fiscal end this year.
Yes. Thank you. We had quite the IT difficulties last time where our internet got disconnected in the middle of the call, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody was there, so thank you. So kind of the last section before we kind of take more Q&A and do a quick grantee spotlight, I wanted to report out for Elisa. She couldn't be with us today. She is actually presenting a grants management session up in Dallas right now with the National Grants Management Association, but she wanted me to make sure to touch on a few things coming up. So the first thing is just to note that you will be receiving from her packets of closeout documents soon, now that you all have submitted your final reports and most of you have finished up your last grant. The last step is to obviously pay your final PERs and also to close out the grant and get you to confirm and certify for us that all the amounts are correct and that everything was received on your end. We will be doing that electronically. We're really trying to go paperless here as much as possible. So luckily, we'll be able to just print that, sign it, scan it, and send it back to us if possible. If for some reason you really can't do that, I'm sure we'll still take paper, but we really want to do it electronically as much as possible. So stay tuned for closeout packets from Elisa in the coming month or two. Similarly, we will also be sending out final status reports
As for those of you that have been around for a while, you know that OneStar sends out kind of like an annual report card on your grant, or an FSR as we call them. And we always do this after we've, you know, paid out the final PERs, gotten your final APR, final FFR, and all the paperwork has come in and your final reports have been processed. Then we can start using that data to come up with portfolio-wide averages, and then to let you know how your program did in comparison to both portfolio-wide averages and kind of OneStar expectations. So it's just a one-page document. Our goal is always to try to get it out by the end of the calendar year. So I'm confident that we will be able to get you your final status reports by December. I know that seems late, but it does take quite a while to finalize all of the final PERs and final APRs and to crunch all the numbers so that we can make sure we're giving you an accurate snapshot of how your program kind of stacks up according to portfolio averages. So stay tuned for those. They get mailed out to, I believe, the primary program and legal signatory. So make sure your ARF is updated so that your head folks can get that final status report. And as you know, Elisa handles grant making and everything related to our notice of funding opportunity. I believe you all have been pretty much close in touch with her if you are recompeting this year for the next cycle. So we have, as you've probably noticed, we're actually trying something different this year. We have two different kind of funding cycles. We have both competitive, which is happening earlier, and formula, which isn't happening until the spring. Similar to last year, we are requiring a notice of intent form, and it's not just a one-page letter. It's actually a form where you're checking boxes and telling us what type of grant you plan to apply for, how many slots you're thinking, what you're planning to do, what focus area the grant will be in, things like that. So those are required for all grantees to recompete or apply for funds. The first deadline has already passed. September 28th was for recompete, new and recompete competitive programs, and that was September 28th. But if you are applying for formula funding, you can actually submit that by February 18th. So you still have some time to turn in your notice of intent form if you are recompeting as a formula program. And applications will be due very soon. The competitive application is due October 26th. So if you are recompeting this year, that is your deadline, October 26th. Make sure that you have all the information you need from Elisa and you've been to our website and gotten all the forms and application instructions to be able to submit your recompete in eGrants by October 26th. If you are recompeting as a formula program, the deadline will not be until March 3rd, so you have some extra time there, which is nice. And as usual, if competitive programs don't get selected competitively, they then become a part of our formula application pool. So we're still handling things fairly similarly, but we really wanted to give formula programs that extra time since we can to not have to submit until the spring. So if you have any questions about that, I'll do my best to answer them, but Elisa should be your main point of contact. So any questions on grant making or grant management for myself or Elisa? Okay, great. Well then, we're going to our final kind of order of business is we wanted to spotlight programs that maybe did something on September 30th for the new National Service Safety Stand Down Day. You should have received an email from your grants officers about the importance of safety. This was actually something that our CNCS program officer also found we could be doing a little bit better here in Texas, is really thinking about the ways that we can reassure ourselves that all of you are providing safety training to members. And there is actually a reason that this has become a big focus for the corporation. One is obviously the new focus on disaster services and really trying to emphasize personal safety and preparedness. But also, I understand from Bill Basil, the director of AmeriCorps, that there were several unfortunate incidents that happened in the past year where last program year members were either harmed while on active service duty as an AmeriCorps member in an unsafe environment. I believe there was a member who was assaulted while being in an unsafe neighborhood, leaving service one day, who was hospitalized, as well as mental health. There were two or three, I believe, AmeriCorps members whom we've heard from CNCS actually attempted to harm themselves or even took their own lives last year. And so we're considering mental health part of this member safety as well. And so we're going to be thinking about ways between now and next September 30th that we can really make sure that you all have the tools you need to provide this training to members and make sure that they're safe, both mentally and also physically safe during their year of service. I know they're taking on a lot of financial burden by serving for a year, very little pay, often long service hours. And for those that are serving alone or in a more isolated environment, it can be even more challenging. So I really want to encourage you all to think about your safety training, to beef it up, and to think about next September 30th, how we can really all come together to provide intensive safety training to our members between now and next September 30th. So we have one program that I believe kind of tried to start doing this a little bit this year, and I wanted to ask Amanda Miller from the UT ACE program to just share a little bit about what you did this year, or if you all have any plans for the coming year. Amanda?
Hey, yeah. We did something pretty informal just because of the time of the year, but we actually took advantage of the fact that September 30th was also the Prepare-a-thon that FEMA put out. They had a bunch of really great resources on just natural disasters and sort of how to mitigate disaster within your own family. So we chose two sort of disasters that are highlighted here in Central Texas, fire and flood. And we sent out information to the members from the Prepare-a-thon packet, as well as information for them to sort of think about creating an emergency preparedness plan for themselves. A lot of our members are from out of town, out of the area. They have roommates. And so that's not necessarily something that they think about when they move here is that, oh, I need to have an emergency preparedness plan at home. And so we encourage them to do that and talk with their housemates. But then we also encourage them to speak with the administration on their at their school sites and sort of create an emergency preparedness plan for themselves at school as well. So if something happens at school, where do they go? What do they do? If they're with tutoring students, they take students back to class. That sort of thing. So pretty informal. We just sent out a ton of information. But yeah, just to sort of get them thinking about that at this time.
That's great. Thank you so much, Amanda. I'm so glad you found the Prepare-a-thon materials helpful too. And yes, I believe that that is the reason CNCS chose September 30th for this date, is that you can take advantage of the simultaneous FEMA Prepare-a-thon. And you can go to ready.gov. I believe all of those materials are posted year-round for download. So definitely take advantage of anything you find on ready.gov. They have everything from natural disasters to how to prepare for active shooters and acts of violence and things like that. And obviously many of you work at community centers or schools where they might already do their own safety procedures, but we really need to make sure that all of you are training those members and sending them resources and helping them think about safety in their service. So any other good examples, or does anybody want to share anything that they're doing for safety training before we adjourn? Crickets. Okay. Well,
Emily,
be thinking about
Monica with College Forward.
Yes. Is that Monica?
Yeah. So this year we actually, we've had it in the past, but we've created a risk management. We call it a committee. And it consists of AmeriCorps members, and the purpose of the committee is to do monthly safety, office safety awareness updates, to send out articles, to have informal sessions, just to notify or to update based on a topic each month. They're also in charge of coming up with different training plans that we can implement next year regarding risk management and office safety. And then they're also kind of our go-to team in case we do need to be deployed.
That's wonderful. I love to hear that. I love that it's reinforced kind of monthly so that members don't, forget about what they need to be doing and preparing. Great. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to share? We have about 1 minute left. Okay, great. Well, thank you all so much for your time. Has anybody joined us that did not check in at the very beginning during roll call?
Yes, Don Klein.
Don, thank you, Don.
Yes.
This is Mary McRoberts with Boys and Girls Club.
Great. Thank you, Mary.
And hi, this is also Abby Ames at Breakthrough.
Thanks, Abby. Okay. Well, without further ado, thank you so much for taking this hour out of your busy days to be with us. And we look forward to opening day tomorrow. Enjoy yourselves, and congratulations to you and your new incoming AmeriCorps members. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The organizer has disconnected, and this conference will continue for 60 minutes.